Hey, this is Chris Brown. This episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit Vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls today at 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but about a month ago, there was these... obviously, the tragic shooting that happened in Orlando, and I don't know if you saw what Chick-fil-A did. Of course, many individuals, many companies stepped up, and they offered their help for those who were affected and for the families and all that kind of stuff. But a listener to our show, Jeremy, posted on my Facebook page last month an article that was entitled, Chick-fil-A Did What on a Sunday? And I guess when people lined up to donate blood, Chick-fil-A actually stepped in and provided food to hundreds of people waiting in line to donate. And it's pretty wild. They did it on a Sunday. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because that is exactly what this community, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, this True Stewardship community is all about. It's about stewarding your gifts. It's about doing what you can do in the midst of everyday life, but also in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of struggle. And Chick-fil-A, someone sat down in their leadership team and said, you know what? What are we gifted to do? What are we positioned to do? And they worked it. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, work what your mama gave you, right? They decided to do that. It makes me think of the famous quote from Theodore Roosevelt. It says, do what you can with what you have where you are. And that's what stewardship's all about. 1 John 3:17 says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? And Philippians 2:4 says, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. And as we start this broadcast, may that be my prayer for all of us, this Chris Brown's True Stewardship community, that we would be a community that is about others. This is not a show that's about money. It's not a show that's about numbers and about baby steps. It's way deeper than that. It's a way of life. It's about stewarding what we've been given so that we can bring honor and glory to God. And that part of that is reaching out to others in times of need. So I thought that was a really, really cool story that showcases what stewardship can look like on a very practical day-to-day level. Again, the number is 866-357-3283, and our first call comes in from Phoenix, Arizona. This is Brett. Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I help?
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I came into a little bit of money, and I don't know what debt I should pay off first. I know smallest to largest, but I'm kind of basing out interest rates, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where to start off.
Yeah. Yeah. How much money?
$40,000.
Okay. So the first thing you need to do is get on a check and start filling it out and put CHRIS on the line. And, I'm just kidding. $40,000. Okay. So we got some options. I love that. What's your income?
The household income is about $200,000.
Okay. And total debt?
$95,000.
Okay. What are these debts?
So like $25,000 of it is a credit card. $27,000 is a line of home equity line of credit.
Okay.
And then $9,000 personal loan, and then $33,000 personal loan.
Well, I'd probably put the equity line with the house. So I would move that out of what we call baby step two and move that back into baby step six. Because that's just because it's tied to a parcel, and it's technically a mortgage. It's just really a second mortgage is really what it is. It's tied to an appreciating asset. It's, we're going to treat that one a little bit different. Probably has a little bit less interest rate also than the rest of them. That's why I would, that just takes care of 27 and kind of puts it in, you know, somewhere else. The rest of them, what you're going to do is what we call a classic debt snowball, and you're going to list them smallest to biggest. And regardless of interest rate, and I know that mathematically is blowing all of you mathematicians away, and you're like, no, interest rate's important. What's more important, you're going to pay off more if you stay motivated. So you've got to get some wins fast. And
well, this is our last four.
Oh, good. So you know the deal.
You've been off 150.
Well, yeah, you're crushing it. So you get the deal. Once you pay off a couple of these, it gets addicting. And so, I would not worry about the interest rate. I would just keep attacking. I mean, let's say that you pay off one that's 7% before you pay off one that's 9%, and it costs you a couple $100. In the big scheme of things, the numbers that you're talking about, you want to stay motivated. So if you do it the way where you stay the most motivated and you do it, let's say 15 months quicker than you were going to do, or 9 months quicker than you were going to do, you're actually, that $200 or $300 is not as a joke compared to how much you saved because you didn't pay it for as long. So that motivation thing's key. Are you familiar with our debt snowball and the total money makeover?
Yep, and that's what we've done up until this point. And
good.
The only reason I'm questioning it is just because the credit card interest rate is 22% or something versus the personal loan I have is 4% interest.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get that. And you said your salary is what again?
A household about $200,000.
All right, so let's pull up for a second. You've got 95 total in debt, and you make 200. So regardless, everything's gone in 9 months.
Oh, yeah, we're a year into this,
yeah,
and we paid off 150 already.
Yeah, so you're killing it. 9 months is like your drop-dead date for me. I think maybe even 6 months.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter. Just crush them in order, smallest to biggest, regardless of interest rate. Just kill them. And you are just going to be like knocking it down so fast, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, when you're that intense and you're doing what Proverbs 6:5 says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, interest rates, you laugh at them. It's a joke to you. You're killing it, and you're inspiring for everybody.
Okay.
If everybody had that kind of intent. Now, you do have a big income. You have a big shovel working for you. So.
But definitely move the line of credit into the house.
I would. Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, because I want you to get that compound interest working for you as soon as possible, too. So get to that investing. If you're currently investing, stop that immediately and get this debt done first and then go back to the investing. You're just pausing it for a quarter.
Okay.
And if you pause that, you're just freeing up 15% more to throw towards this thing. So if you're paying, then here's the logic on that. You're paying 22% interest on a credit card, and this year you might have made 5% on your portfolio. How does that make sense, right?
That's true.
Yeah, so let's stop that. Let's get rid of the 22, and then boom, you just made a 17% gain.
Okay.
All right, Brett, we appreciate the call.
Chris, thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, thank you. Again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and the phone number is 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Hey, when I was an executive pastor, I used Vander Blumen's search group to help me find church leaders to join our church. As the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations, Vander Blumen prayerfully comes alongside your team to guide you through the search process and bring you great candidates that fit your church's needs. And actually, they connected Dave Ramsey with me. Because of their ministry, I am able now to serve and use my passions to spread the message of stewardship to the local church. Visit VanderBlumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Next up from Orlando, Florida, this is Sheree. Sheree, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh,
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, of course. How can I help?
I just wanted some advice on wanting to jump into entrepreneurism, and I am currently working. I'm making about $27,000 working for a municipality, and I also have a graphic design business in which I do on the side. Last year, about $13,000. My only problem is that I don't have the time to put in it to become a full-time entrepreneur, because being a single parent, and work a full-time job. I'm only able to maybe put in 2 hours a day, if that, on the business, and I just want your advice.
Yeah. I think the biggest question that I have is, how big is the actual gap between your current income with benefits and what your income's going to be if you were to just take the leap? So you said you're making $27,000 a year. Does that include benefits?
No. With benefits, I think it's probably about 32.
Okay. And so you have health for just you?
Health for myself and my sons, with 401k, with the extra that the city does, like death, life insurance, they also do through there.
Yeah.
Also,
as soon as you said there's a municipality, I'm like, yeah, there's probably some good benefits there.
Yes.
So you are picking up a lot of clients. Is it moving in the right direction, or is it kind of plateaued?
No, it's moving in the right direction. I kind of right now have to turn people down, turn work down, because I'm not able to fit it into my work week. So I'm just at that point where I want to make the leap, but I just want some financial advice on it.
Yeah. What's the smallest number that you could live on for 6 months?
Well, I probably need about $2,000 a month. Because my boys, like I said, are in after school care and all this stuff, and I have gas because I go to back and forth. So if I cut down my expenses and just lived, and pick up the boys, I could probably live on about $2,000 a month.
Yeah. Great question. What about some money that you'd be saving if you made the jump? So for instance, some expenses that are associated with your current job that wouldn't be there if you were to be working graphic design out of the home, like transportation and those kind of things.
Transportation would be lower. After school care, I pay for myself and my boys. As far as like right now, summer is, a good $125 a week. That'd be cut back. So it'll be things like things associated with the boys, that kind of stuff, eating.
And here's the deal. Are you a single mom?
I am.
So, I know, from my perspective, if this were me, what I would do is I would try to get that $13,000 a year up to, maybe that 23, like maybe another 10 grand a year, so it's another $1,000 a month. And the only way to do that really is to start charging more for what you're doing, or do more quantity. More quantity is going to mean less sleep. And it's just for a season, but it's for a season. And you're like, I'm going to grip it and rip it for a season. But however, I'm not a single mom. So that's one thing I can't, obviously I grew up in a single mom home. So I know the tensions there, but, you only know if you've getting enough sleep. Like if you're already at 5 hours a night, it's going to be tough to do. But that's what you're really trying to do. You're trying to make sure that you make this leap as risk-free as possible, and you're trying to get that 13 number up a little bit more in a risk-safe environment where you've got this base of your full-time job at the same time. Maybe there's a way where you can go three-quarter time at your current location, current employer. Say, hey, can I go three-quarter time for 18? And then you're looking at, you got 18 and 13, you're at 31. You're giving up a little bit of benefits probably because of that, because you're not full time anymore. So maybe your total package is going to be going down maybe $3,000 or $4,000 for a season, but now you can focus a little bit more on graphic design and get that 13 up to 15 or 18. So it's just what you're trying to do is you try to kind of think through like your right hand's out and your left hand's out, and you're just kind of like your right hand's going up a little bit and your left hand's going down a little bit, and you're just kind of tip the scale slowly. You're trying to remove risk from your home is what you're trying to do.
Yes. Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah. So let me give you a great resource, businessboutique.com. It's actually a new website. Christy Wright is one of our personalities, and she actually specializes in this very thing. And she has got materials all over that website for free that are on there, and how you can steward your gifts and talents to the max. So make sure you check that out, businessboutique.com. And anyone else that's out there that has a small business on the side that's looking to monetize it and try to take it to the next level, that's a very good resource.
Thank you very much.
All right, Sheree, thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right, folks. Well, we're talking all about your life, your money. We're talking all about things, all things stewardship. This whole idea of stewardship is that we foundationally understand that this life, including our gifts, our talents, our energy, money as well, everything, it's not our own. God owns it all and everything that we have. That is the theme of this show. You'll hear me say that repeatedly. It's why we talk so much on this show about how to manage everything that God has given us His way and for His glory. When we get how important this is, we have to pay attention to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. When we look at situations, we got to look at situations through that lens, Proverbs 21:5. I know we all have great intentions for how we save and how we spend and give our money, but without a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise stewards. So to help you get started, we created the Starter Special that teaches you the best ways to get out of debt and to win with money through things like budgeting and investing and saving. Special includes some of our best resources like Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. That book has sold, I think, 5 million copies and 13 audio lessons on how to handle your money. So just go to stewardship.com and check out the Starter Special to get on a plan for your money.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris.
I want to share with you a really encouraging, just quick email from Jim. He writes in, he says, "Hey, Chris, heard you several times on Dave's show and just listened to your show for the first time. Greatly enjoyed it. Had to do some grocery shopping, so while riding on my bike over to the store, I listened to your show. I liked how you ended the stewardship show by praying. Again, just wanted to say thanks. I'll be a regular listener when riding off to work now, but got some catching up to do. Also, not a big deal, but started up a savings account today. Starting to get money working for me. Thanks again for the show. Cheers, Jim." And you know what? We asked for that. We asked for those testimonies, those little small wins. There is power in small steps. That's a small step, going to get an account. But when you put all of those little steps, all of those little baby steps, one after another, that's called progress. And so, Jim, we are cheering you on, and we really appreciate you writing in today. Well, folks, the number's 866-357-3283, and we've got Sarah on the line. She's calling in from Spokane, Washington. Sarah, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I are considering selling our house to pay off $119,000 in debt. And we're getting some flack back from our families because we're looking at selling the house, taking the cash and paying some of our debt down, and then living in an apartment for, approximately 2-3 years until it's gone. Would that be something you guys would think would be a good idea?
Well, I will say this. I love the intensity and the willing to sacrifice what's comfortable to you in your home. I want to kind of look at it from that angle. Then I also want to kind of challenge anyone listening in that maybe has had a similar thought before. You got to ask yourself, am I automatically leaning towards the microwave solution instead of a crockpot solution? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that for your situation. We're going to dive in a little bit further, but I think that's one thing you got to ask yourself. Are we looking for a quick fix? Now, obviously this quick fix is great. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but if you're not going to change the behavior, there's a little bit of advantage of feeling the sting of trying to dive, kind of dig out of a hole, because you learn from it. And if you get an automatic remedy to a bunch of debt and it goes away real fast, the danger in that is that you didn't feel enough sting, so you can kind of get back in the same spot. So I don't know if that's true for you, but something to consider for all of us. I think the biggest question for me to ask you, Sarah, is what is your why?
Well, we're going to sell the house anyways because we have a second kid on the way, and the house only has two bedrooms upstairs, and our daughter is a terrible sleeper, so we know that there won't be able to be any room sharing if anyone in the house is going to get sleep, and I work full-time.
Yeah.
So for us, we're going to rent an apartment that has enough bedrooms rather than moving up in-house.
Yeah, well, I like that. And why is it important for you to not have this debt?
Well, 105 of it is school loans, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're getting to the quote-unquote so long it's going to be with us that it's starting to become a pet. My husband's 34, and, you know, for us, it's just, I have more stress seeing that dollar amount not move the way I want it to than maybe moving down to be uncomfortable in an apartment for 2 years, you know?
Right, right. And why, I mean, obviously that's Proverbs 22:7 being lived out in the flesh. It's the borrower's enslaved to the lender. That's how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important for you to not feel that way anymore?
Well, I work full time, you know, and that's hard when you leave a kid at home every day because you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's something that I want or I desire with my heart, but, you know, we look at our bank account, and if I pulled back on work or chose to go part time, it feels like it's more of a necessity just to survive than a choice that I'm making for my family. So I feel like I'm a little bit emotionally, you know, distressed leaving my kid when I know I couldn't change that even if I wanted to.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. And, you know, based on what you've told me, I would definitely be in favor of this, selling the home and doing that. The reason why I ask you so many questions about the why is because if I were to continue to ask you the why and you back into this, what's really behind all this is you feel strapped. You want to do so much, and you can't. And if I were to keep asking you why, it'd be because it'll go all the way back to living out your purpose. It'd go all the way back to you living out and intentionally and doing the things that you feel like God's called you to do. And so what you're doing by selling this house is ultimately an act of worship. It ultimately goes back to you being in a position to be used by God. Many people are intentioned for ministry, but they're not positioned for ministry. And you want to get positioned for ministry. And regarding the flack that maybe your family's given you, 1 Peter 4:16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian through any kind of persecution," I know Western persecution looks a lot different than other places in the world, but "let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And here's the deal. If you're, this is an act of worship, the little bit of flack you're getting from your family, and if you put it in the right perspective, it's actually an act of worship versus a dollar and cents thing. I don't know how they complain or how they give you flack on an act of worship. I've never ripped somebody by going, "Oh, you know what? You know, if you're doing that, you know, for spiritual purposes, that's just really dumb."
Right.
I've just never.
And a lot of the reason we're doing this is because, you know, I listen to you guys and, you know, we want to change our family tree for our daughters. And, you know, I look at my parents and my husband's parents and, you know, they're not in a position that I truly want to be in when I'm there. And so for us, it's a small amount of time to sacrifice the, you know, our ultimate goals.
Yeah. And it's just great that you've got that equity to do it. So I think that's a blessing and thank God for it. I will tell anybody who's in the similar situation and you're looking to sell real estate. Of course, if you've listened to the show for any time, I brag about our endorsed local providers. We've got the best real estate brokers in every city. So right there in Spokane, we've got some great ones. So make sure you head over to stewardship.com and click on ELP and at least have a conversation with them and see what they can do for the sale of this house. But in this particular situation, I definitely like it. And I love the fact that I didn't hear you too emotionally tied to this dwelling. It's just a house, which is a good perspective. And also, you said that you're having another child. Want to let you know about a great article on stewardship.com as well. It's entitled "How to Financially Prepare for a Baby." And it's our team wrote it recently, and I wanted you to know about it. So be sure to check that out, and we appreciate the call.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, folks, don't forget, head over to stewardship.com and check out the starter special to learn the best ways to get out of debt and to win with money through budgeting, investing, and saving. Just go to stewardship.com and check out the starter special to get on a plan for your money. Got a final thought for you as we sign off. You know, God is not only the owner in our life. We're here right in the middle of the week, and you might be in the right in the middle of something difficult in your life. Maybe it's stress at work. Maybe it's work-related. Maybe it's not. But God's not just our owner. He's also our protector. The Bible says, whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty can say to him, you are my defender and protector. You are my God. In you, I trust. That's Psalm 91. He is our strength, folks. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is all you need. For my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. And folks, he is the owner of our lives, but he's also our protector. He's also our strength. From Nashville, Tennessee, on behalf of Ramsey Solutions, we thank you for tuning in. God bless you.